Had you actually read the email, you would know that the podcast you are about to listen to could contain explicit language
and offensive content.
These HR experts' views are not representative of their past, present, or future employers. If you have ever heard, "My manager is unfair to me,"
"I need you to reset my HR portal password,"
or
"Can I write up my employee for crying too much?"
Welcome to our little safe zone. Welcome to Jaded HR.
Welcome to Jaded HR, the podcast by two HR professionals who want to help you get through the workday by saying all the things you're thinking, but say them out loud. I'm Warren.
I'm Mrs. Feathers. So, you know, Warren, I got to say this. Let me put a disclaimer out there first. First of all, I know COVID is real. I know vaccinations are important. My heart goes out to all the people who have lost a loved one or a friend. My heart goes out for anybody in the medical industry that's working to help eradicate the situation. But I'm fucking sick of COVID. I'm sick of mandates. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of every day, every state has a new provision or new something that has to go through to, I don't even know at this fucking point. I'm just pissed off. I'm annoyed by it. Flights are being canceled because companies don't want to do this and companies don't want to do that. Now there's NBA players that are getting kicked off their teams because they're not getting vaccinated. I'm done with it. What are we, 18, 19 months into this shit? Again, that's why I put my disclaimer out there. Like, my heart breaks for all the things and all the reality. I do believe it's real. I do believe in science, all those things. But my Lord, I'm fucking sick of it. And for our listeners, we started recording a podcast a couple weeks ago, and we just had to stop because it was a COVID-related episode. And let's be frank and honest, it sucked. And it sucked because we're both just fucking sick of talking about COVID. So we both were like, this one just sucks. You want to just call it a night? Yeah, let's just call it a night. It was a smart decision on our part. So
we're no longer a couple episodes ahead, though. We're sort of recording in real time now.
Well, good. So, yeah, Southwest Airlines, you suck. I mean, everything else just sucks. I mean, it just seems like no matter what we do, I don't even know. Well, that's my rant. I mean, I'm just pissed off. I'm sick of it.
I couldn't agree more. And these mandates rolling down the pipeline to us, it's going to be interesting.
It just changes every minute. Every minute of every day, there's something new we have to do. There's something new in policy. And I mean, I love living in the country that we live in, but we are a republic and we do have individual states. So therefore, we're scrutinized by 50 other different governmental policies and agencies that we have to support. So as HR professionals, it's not just what the federal says. It's what everybody else says too. So it's like, oh shit, I got one employee in that state. What's their rules today? I know it's going to change tomorrow. Then there's California. Yes, then there's Texas. Texas is saying, oh, hell no, we ain't doing shit with anything anymore.
And whatever, same with Florida.
Florida too. We're going to fight you on everything. Oh, I don't know. I'm sick of it. I'm fed up with it. I'm all those things. Again, put my disclaimer out there. My heart breaks. I know it's real, but my Lord, can we just go have like 2 days of normalcy?
Exactly. Well, you know, we did so well of having COVID-free episodes for almost a year and a half, and then we dove into it. But I want to – today's episode, other than this little rant, is going to be COVID-free.
Sponsored by my annoyance of COVID.
Yeah, but you know, there is a lot out there, and talking about COVID too much makes it too real, and that's not the purpose of this podcast. We want to have fun. We want to be the thing that makes you smile after dealing with COVID.
The outlet.
The outlet. Exactly.
Like, so our good friend over at, like our good friends over at Sherm Not Approved, because her shit's hilarious.
Yes.
And we had the evil HR lady on too, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we had her on.
And she John Herman.
She had a great one the other day. I don't know if you saw it, but it was from the original Star Wars movie. She's like, I love it when Darth Vader gets pissed off in staff meetings and starts choking his employees.
Yes.
I was like, I do too. That's awesome. It's the things that it's the things I wish I could do for a thousand.
Yes. And meetings are, that's a whole nother, that'll be, we could have a whole episode on meetings. And
we really could.
Pre and post COVID, live, in person, or virtual meetings. We could do a whole episode on just that. Maybe I'll put together some notes on that.
So have we gotten any good feedback, any ratings, anything?
I haven't looked at the reviews lately. Our ratings are, you know, just continuing to go higher and higher. So I thank everybody for that. Probably doesn't mean a lot to you all as a listener, but it's very humbling to me to see. I check, if you're not in the top 500, the source I use only gives them on Wednesday. So I'll have to check those this week, but we're doing really well in the ratings. Very pleased. So
we're like 500, right?
we're not that far away. We're not that far away.
All right. So we're 525. Watch out, number 499. We're coming for you.
We're coming for you. So yeah, the ratings are going really well, but we've been getting a lot of support in terms of listeners and things. We want to get additional support from you. So I've done a couple of new things to help you support us. In the show notes, there's going to be a link tree, and that will not only take you to all our social media accounts, but we have this new service called Buy Me a Beer. So if you're enjoying the show, go on, click Buy Me a Beer, and you can buy Feathers and I a beer or two or 12 or 99, something like that, and support us that way.
We promise to never talk about COVID again.
I can't keep that promise. I can't keep that promise. There's more. There's definitely more to come on that. But
it's worth a try. Worth a try.
You have the options of a one-time donation, just buying a beer, or you can subscribe and continually give us money there to help us support. Honestly, we're going to use the money to buy new equipment, better microphones, better recording material.
And better hosts.
We could buy better hosts.
We'll be the HR of our own HR show. I'm sorry, we didn't have an interview process. How funny are you? Can you read off a script and understand the words that you're saying?
Yeah, no, I can't even read off my own script here. Fail.
That's a factual statement. Warren cannot read off his own script.
No, I cannot. But yeah, leave us a review. Leave us a rating on your favorite podcast player. Apple's obviously the big dog in the fight. So go ahead and leave us your review there. Share it with your friends. Help us grow. Help us meet some more goals. And we're going to get new equipment, a new soundboard, and maybe a better recording system than what we have now. So That's what we're going to do with that. But I'm not going to say it's not going to go to beer, because it definitely will every once in a while. But that's the goal for it. So getting on to today's episode, I found three stories on LinkedIn I wanted to share. And two of them are from David Miklas. And I hope I'm saying that off of LinkedIn. So this one particular got to me. So David wrote, Jeff works in manufacturing, and his employer has a policy prohibiting employees from spitting on the floor. You know, we did that episode on policies your company needs. I never would have thought of no spitting on the floor as a policy. I don't know. What type of environment do you work on where you actually have to write that? Some dipshit did it, so now you got to write a policy. But reading on, but the problem is that some employees, particularly those who chew tobacco at work, still spit on the floor. I'll side note here again. I know hundreds of people. I live in North Carolina. I know hundreds and hundreds of people who chew tobacco. Most of them carry around like a water bottle or a can to spit into, but I've never seen them.
They're respectable dippers.
Exactly. They're not dipshits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I've never seen someone just spit on the floor indoors. I've seen it outdoor all the time, sidewalks, etc. That doesn't bother me. But anyways. But Jeff's job requires him to get on the floor underneath equipment when working on it. He complains about two things: poor ventilation related to the welder smoke, and he gets coworker saliva on him when he gets on the floor. Nothing has changed, and Jeff quits. Yeah, those are two legitimate complaints. I'm not going to argue with Jeff on that. I'm not going to want to crawl through someone else's spit through there. But during an unemployment compensation hearing, the judge notes that both of Jeff's issues presented significant concerns for the employee's health and safety. Specifically, the judge finds with the onset of COVID in 2020, the failure to... Oh, I did mention the C word. You can say cunt all you want, but we can't say the other C word.
But, that's a seven deadly word, or seven words you're not supposed to say.
But failure to curb the practice of spitting chewed tobacco on the floor presented a renewed safety concern. Saliva on the floor created an intolerable work environment. I mean, what company out there is going to allow you to spit your tobacco or anything onto the floor like that? It's a manufacturing environment, I guess. This guy's working on machinery. Spit, saliva, tobacco, it's all acidic and it corrodes anything. You know, I just, why would the employer even let it happen in the first place? That blew my mind that A, Jeff had to go through this, but B, nobody stopped it. And I guess he made complaints and they didn't change anything about it, especially during COVID. Yeah, let's let these dudes crawl through the spit during COVID times, and I'm going to just put a dollar in the swear jar or something every time I say that, to do his job fixing these machines. That's just ew and ew.
So first of all, I got to applaud you. As an HR professional, you're also Mr. Wizard, because you knew that saliva was acidic and it was going to start breaking things down. So in my brain, I'm like, wow, shit, we're a science show and now we're an HR show.
Oh,
we're violating the rules of all of them. It doesn't even matter. And second of all, like... my gut tells me it's probably the manager. It's probably the manager that spit on the floor because he's like, or somebody's leading by example and just assuming, oh, this is okay. But I mean, what's that old saying, the thing about common sense? It's not that common.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, how do you know not to be spitting on the floor of your workplace, especially in a manufacturing situation, especially while you're chewing tobacco? Like,
yeah. People, I want to know what type of, I would love to know what type of manufacturing environment this is.
It was Chipotle.
The Chipotle, where they make the food. That's how they get the extra smoky flavor into your,
right. Yeah, exactly.
Your food. That's just a kid. That's just a joke. We're, it's don't
just
sue
a,
us.
Just a joke. Yeah.
I don't have joke. Anything to take, but anyhow.
I'm an HR.
We're not rich.
Yeah, no.
And if you want to support our legal defense fund, you can go to buyusabeer.com. Yeah. But anyhow.
Maybe we should retain counsel.
John Hyman, can you help me, please?
Yeah, exactly.
So that story just really was A, gross, and B, why do you need to be spitting like that? So another story, also from October 7th and David Miklas. An employee gets angry when a coworker makes comments about him being late and gives him the look. The angry employee grabs his coworker and angrily shouts, "Say that to me again and I'll smash your fucking face." That's a very nice employee there. The employer confronts the angry employee about his conduct, and the employee says he was recently diagnosed with type 1 diabetes and is struggling to manage it. The employee explains that because of his diabetes, he's unable to control his emotions, and he exploded in rage. The employer doesn't buy this and fires the employee for gross misconduct. Amen. Good going on you, employer. My thought process is there is zero tolerance for workplace violence. Then David goes on to write, good call. Well, the employee sued his former employee for disability discrimination, and the judge ruled that the employee was suffering from diabetic rage. The judge concluded that the employee's condition had significant influence on, or to put it another way, played a material part in his behavior on that day. Now, I do have to say this came from England somewhere, and we joke about California having jacked up HR rules. The very few British ones I know that stand out are all jacked up. So I know we have a good amount of listeners over across the pond, but I cannot fathom a company allowing someone who is demonstrating potential violence in the workplace. What gives?
All right, a couple observations here. One, since you are officially now Mr. Wizard on the show tonight, please explain to me a diabetic rage.
I do not know that. I guess your insulin levels get too high or low or whatever the situation is, and it makes you an angry little motherfucker.
Number two, please don't ever use an accent again. There's comedians that get paid for that, and they're funny.
And they're funny.
It's a nice attempt. Oh, you sound like you're from London. I can't do it either. So,
I can't. That's the best I could do. But
all right, folks, thanks for tuning in. So our impressions will start here shortly. I mean, you know, this is a tough one because, I mean, I could get it if somebody has difficulty controlling medication, especially in the beginning part of it. However, like, I'm going to smash in your fucking face. Yeah, I'm going to fire the person too.
Yeah.
Or at least I'm going to have to really seriously think about it and probably consult outside counsel. I mean, do the proper HR things.
Oh, yeah. I agree. In this case, you're going to have, because you've got so many things at play. And like I said, this was in England, but let's pretend it's in the U.S. Workplace violence. Okay. That's a no-go anywhere you go, but workplace violence, no-go. And if the employee, once again, is having some sort of medical condition, it should probably be up to them to come to HR and say, hey, I'm under this new medication. I'm doing whatever. I'm struggling to manage it. I need some FMLA time. Because even if you have an accommodation, there's no accommodation for safety or threats or anything like that. And my comment on LinkedIn about this was, okay, now you know this employee has this rage issue. Yeah, he only grabbed this person by the shirt, shook him around a little bit. But the next one, he actually beats to a pulp. Now you as an employer, you know he's got this propensity for violence, and you didn't do anything about it the first time. So now you're in doubly doo-doo as the employer. So I say workplace violence, there's no accommodation for that. The employee should have been a little more proactive and say, hey, I need to take some time off while I get this situated. And because there are multiple medicines out there that'll make you have adverse side effects, if it's anger, if it's frustration, if it's depression, who knows what it is. There's medicines out there that just their side effects can be pretty wonky, or the not treatment of these situations can make you go off it. I can't fathom justifying violence in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, I can speak on a personal story in terms of medications. I mean, thankfully I'm a reformed smoker, but I was a smoker for a long time. It's probably one of the biggest regrets I have in my life. But I mean, I tried Chantix, and I'll tell you, you want to talk about something that'll fuck you up. You don't smoke, but you want to go, you're crazy the rest of the time. I think I was on it for about 7 days, and I said, nope, I can't. I'm going to take I'd rather smoke. And I'll figure out how to quit. And I did. But I'll tell you, I mean, the drug works in the terms of, like, you don't smoke. But, man, when you sleep at night or you're awake, it's a psychological mess you up.
I know someone else who took that, and they said that their depression was so bad from being on it that their doctor actually told them, I'd rather you smoke than have this type of depression.
Yeah.
And they were going through some other things in their life at that time, but the doctor said, look, we'll try this again. We'll try something again later, but not now. So that, yeah. But my workplace violence story, I don't know if I've told it on the show or not before. There's a certain state in the Rocky Mountains that's very high, but
Rocky Mountain High.
Yeah, that one. But
yeah,
I had employees working there. And so we had an employee get into an altercation with another employee. And employee A shouts at the top of his lungs, one day I'm going to go postal, come in here and go postal, and you're going to be the top of my list. Or something like that. Who's going to go? So this was overheard because it was raised voices by so many people, including the director and a manager of the company. So they brought him in and got rid of him, fired him immediately before calling HR. So I'm all on board. You have that type of situation. We'll pick up. I'd prefer if you suspended him indefinitely, but we'll pick up the pieces after that type of thing later. So a few weeks go by, we get to the unemployment claim. And that wonderful state in the Rocky Mountains there, the employment claim, I'm in my office, which is not in that state. And the hearing administrator does not want to hear from me because I'm not in Colorado. I had no firsthand knowledge or anything like that. So that was a very short hearing, and they awarded the person unemployment. So we appealed. I had the director and a manager on the line with me. I let them basically run it. I was sort of directing them. And the employee's retort was, oh, I didn't mean it. I was just a little angry at the time. And I'm a good, you know, a good person. I don't own guns, da-da-da-da-da. And so guess what? Colorado, oops, said that state name, but they sided with the employee and he won unemployment. So we appealed yet again. And same thing happened. I'm like, we're talking of the work, you know, the movie theater shooting was very fresh in people's mind out there in Colorado mm-hmm. at that time. And our office was not that far from that location. I'm thinking, really, you're going to want us to not fire this person, you know, for exploding and saying point blank, I'm going to go postal and you're first on my list. I mean, really, you know, we ended up sucking up the unemployment claim. It wasn't much, but just he won first that HR representative who had no firsthand knowledge, can't read the reports, see the video and say, okay, I can represent the company in this. But then getting the firsthand account from the managers, et cetera, that blew my mind and made me hate that state even more on the HR side of the world than I did previously. But it's just, crazy. No tolerance for workplace violence. So I've got another story, and this actually came out today, October 12th, from Stuart Silverman on LinkedIn. So he writes, dear HR pros and employers, please do not tell an EEOC investigator that you told a potential employer that your former employee made an unjustified claim with the EEOC. In March 2018, Michael Bowles was working at Spike Electric and was praised for his sales work and his new territories he would enter. He had received similar praises the month before and was doing great at his new employer. Then came the news that no one wants to hear. Cancer, specifically a rare cancer, liposarcoma in his thigh. The treatment is to remove the tumor and monitor the patient. He told his boss, and 2 days later, his base salary was cut from $80,000 to $50,000 per year. But wait, there's more. His commission was also lowered to 1.5%. But wait, there's more. The day before his surgery, Bowles is told his services are no longer needed. Yep, they canned him the day before surgery. Awesome employer there. But it gets even worse. 12 days after surgery, Bowles files a charge with the EEOC. He has difficulty getting a job and finally gets an interview and is not hired. During the EEOC investigation, one of Spike's co-owners said he told the EEOC that he told a potential employer that Bowles filed an EEOC charge and that he felt was unjustified, according to the complaint, that caused the company not to hire Bowles. Also, according to the complaint, Spike admitted to others that to block Bowles from obtaining employment. The suit just settled, and they settled for $85,000. So this employer did about everything wrong you can do. I think he probably could have gotten a lot more than $85,000 out of this case. But yeah, I have cancer. Oh, great. Let me cut your salary $30,000 and your commission. It's just, wow.
This is like the great example of the handbook situation of the things that you
do not do.
Like, you, right. Like when you're learning as a new HR professional and you're thinking about EEOC and claims and so forth and so on, what a great case study, because this is exactly everything the company should never fucking do. Like,
and then after you fire him the day before his surgery, I'm going in for major cancer surgery.
They probably sent him flowers. Hey, have a great surgery.
Open the card. Oh, get well. Yeah. By the way, you're fired.
Yeah, well, you're fired. Yeah,
it's not funny, but it is. But then to go and blackball him, and this owner, the co-owner, admitted to the EEOC that he told him this. So this guy has like literally shit for brains. Yeah, I told this other company not to hire him because he filed an EEOC charge. I mean, wow. Really? How can... I think this guy was very kind and settling, because I think if it had gone to trial, he could have gotten a buttload more money.
Yeah, I'm thinking 85,000 is like, that to me is like scratching the surface. Oh, that's your first check.
Yeah.
there will be more checks. There was more checks coming, and we paid for your surgery, and we did this, and we did that. I mean, like.
And please don't sue us.
Yeah. I mean, I already knew when, like, you got to the end of the story, and I'm like, and the EEOC filed the claim. Well, you're fucked.
Yeah, exactly.
As we talked about before, like, if the EEOC does not file suit unless they're about 90% sure that you're fucked. And guess what? You're fucked.
I do want to try and do some research and find a case where the EEOC took a claim that wasn't a slam dunk. Of course, those aren't going to make the news. But they really only take slam dunk cases and sue on the party's behalf. Otherwise, you know, they give them the right to sue and go on from there. But I'd love to see some cases where the EEOC lost every once in a while. But if it gets to that point, you know, there's been something screwy going on either way. But when someone's getting cancer surgery and going in, don't cut their salary, don't cut their commission. And don't fire them the day of their surgery or a day before their surgery. I mean, that's just poor taste all the way around. That's crazy. But
I'd be curious to know what the position was that the person was hired for, especially
sales.
Yeah, it's got to be a sales position.
Yeah, and you know, salespeople are a unique breed, and a good one is worth their weight in gold many times over. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, so if he's getting high praise and everything from his employer before, why can't him let him get through his cancer and come back out? If it's 3 weeks later, if it's, you know, I don't know how long the specific cancer is to treat and get over and move on from. But if it's 3 weeks, if it's 12 weeks, if it's 6 months. Get him back in there and have him sell for you again. He'll make his money back. It's just, wow. People do that.
It's funny you brought up sales. It brought up sales. Not funny because you brought up sales, but like I always think of sales in terms of their weight in gold. And you made it very eloquently said. And they are worth every penny you pay them if they are a good salesperson. But you also have to think from the manager's perspective, in the sense of like a sales manager. That's a very valuable lesson to teach them that guess what? You're going to make significantly less money than your people if you've got good salespeople.
Yeah. And that's why sales management is so hard to do, because a good
salesman, you go at the door.
You have to check you, and you know you're stepping back in salary when you go from a salesperson to a sales manager. You have to bring sales managers in who maybe weren't as successful at the sales. Is, you know, you got salespeople making buku dollars, and you can't pay the manager of that group the same type of money. So that's an interesting dynamic too. That's something we could probably do a deeper dive.
It takes the right kind of person to be a an effective sales manager, because a lot of times they just
sales and sales motivation and the what makes a good salesperson.
Oh yeah, you could talk about the theories. You could talk about all those things. That'd be quite interesting
from an HR's perspective.
Absolutely.
So, anyhow, well, I found those three stories on LinkedIn, and I'm usually on LinkedIn multiple times a day checking various sites and people I follow for their stories. But it's been a long time.
I'm laughing because I saw an Inc. article today that said how many hours in a day you actually spend working.
Oh,
do you want to guess?
Three
and a half.
Oh man.
3.5 hours. And it broke down like all the different things. Like, oh, you're doing 10 minutes, get a snack. And now you got to change the laundry, especially because you're working from home now and you're doing this and you're surfing the web and you're texting people and you're calling your friends. And now we know Warren is just surfing LinkedIn.
Yeah, no, I do surf LinkedIn. I get useful HR information out of it that I can benefit my employer.
Nice plug.
Yes. but if you're an HR and you're only working 3 hours a day, Man, you're lucky. How did you get that job?
I know. Where do you work?
Where do you work? Or you may not want to say that out loud because you probably won't work there too much longer.
I mean, no, just let us know. Just let us know. But private message. Private message.
Speaking of letting us know, I found these articles on LinkedIn, but it's been so long since we've had a listener-submitted story. So I'd love to hear your stories. You can email us at feedback@jadedhr.com. The link is also in that link tree in the show notes. So connect with us on social media. We're quickly approaching 1,000 followers on Instagram, which for some accounts, that's not huge. But for anything done by me with minimal effort is excellent. Because I am not the social media maven. But so thank you very much. Continue to spread the word. And we will continue to make awesome episodes like this one for you. So, Feathers, you've got a best practice for us today?
I do. Since we are basically live in terms of our episodes, this is going to drop this week, I've got thought process of something that's in the news right now. Now, not all of our listeners might be sports fans, and that's okay. But I think it's a very interesting situation going on right now with John Gruden,
who's
a head coach in the NFL. So, to put in perspective, this gentleman signed a 10-year $100 million contract. So he's getting paid $10 million a year, but he's also a fucking idiot because
he just got shit canned.
Yeah. What you don't do, like, so the funny part is like, as HR professionals, we're like, it's not real unless you documented it. It's a true story. We don't believe you unless we documented it. However, what this moron did is he documented it. He put his own personal feelings in terms of things that are not good to talk about in writing, in emails to multiple different people. And the NFL is in a major investigation about a whole bunch of different things going on with certain different teams. And this idiot's name keeps popping up all over the place. And he had emails. He was also receiving photographs of the explicit nature from another team's cheerleading squad. You don't think this was going to come back and bite you in the ass. I mean, I don't know what your entitlement is, what you think, just because you signed a $100 million contract. But come on, man. Have a little bit of smarts. We do agree. The HR professionalists can say, you know what? If we want to go progressive discipline, you got to document, document, document. But come on, man. If you're going to do something stupid, don't document it. That's why sometimes you pick up the phone and you have conversations with somebody so there's no proof.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah, it ought to happen. But you know what? He can't deny it, and he lost his job because of it. I don't know how much money he'll lose in the deal, but I mean, it's just he's done. He will never be in the league again.
No, he absolutely will not. Some homophobic and transphobic slurs, I guess you'd say. Just, and then, like you said, the adult picks from the cheerleaders. I mean, wow. Yeah. And to do it on company email on top of that, you do it on your own Gmail. Okay. The company.
Still dicey,
but the company has some plausible deniability. Oh, he was doing this on his own. But now the Raiders could be potentially on the hook for all the stuff he's saying and doing. So. Wow,
So what's your lesson, kids? Some things you don't put in writing.
Yes. The art of conversation is lost sometimes, and sometimes it really needs to be a good conversation. Hey.
Again, I'm not agreeing with what he did. I just think he's a fucking idiot. I mean, how do you not know better? Like, how do you, let me hit send. This sounds like a great email to send.
I hope she's listening. She taught me a valuable lesson about typing an email, getting it all out, and then hitting delete rather than send, because I needed to learn that lesson. So thank you very much, Lisa, for teaching me that, because, my career could have been cut short for ranting and
raving. We could have a jaded retail podcast right now instead.
Oh, no, I would not go retail.
I mean, as many people are quitting right now in the hospitality industry, we can get jobs tomorrow.
Yeah, I could make $15 an hour at McDonald's right down the street. Or we don't even have a McDonald's anywhere near me, but you know. <laughs> What we got. Yep. Well, thank you again for listening to another episode of Jaded HR. As always, our outro music is The Devil with the Devil by the Underscore Orchestra. And our disclaimer is done by the great voice artist Andrew Quolpa. Once again, please check out Linktree, consider supporting us, and we will see you in 2 weeks. As always, I'm Warren.
And this is Feathers.
And we're helping you survive HR one what-the-fuck moment at a time.